I'd like to read first in the book of Genesis, in chapter 16. Genesis 16, and just the first part of verse 13. She called the name of Jehovah who spoke to her, "Thou art the God who reveals himself." Or as other translations put it, she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, "Thou, God, seest me." Again in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3 and from verse 8. "And they heard the voice of Jehovah Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah Elohim in the midst of the trees of the garden. Jehovah Elohim called to man and said to him, 'Where art thou?' And he said, 'I heard thy voice in the garden, and I feared, because I am naked, and I hid myself.'" Epistle to the Hebrews, Hebrews 4 and verse 13. "And there is not a creature unapparent before him, but all things are naked and laid bare to his eyes, with whom we have to do." And finally, the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and from verse 20. Luke 15 verse 20. "And he rose up and went to his own father, but while he was yet a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell upon his neck, and covered him with kisses. Son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son.' The father said to his bondmen, 'Bring out the best robe and clothe him in it. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and has come to life, was lost and has been found.' And they began to make merry." There was a man on board a ship. He was asleep in his bunk, and he got woken up in the middle of the night. As the ship was travelling, something had got caught in the rudder, a rope or seaweed or something. And it was his job to go down and clear it. The man woke with great consternation and cursing, etc. He went down to clear the problem. I noticed something on the ocean floor. I suppose it wasn't too deep. So he dove down further. He picked up this bit of paper on the ground, on the sea floor. And on that bit of paper was written, "Thou, God, seest me." That man was saved that night. "Thou, God, seest me." What a God that can make that ship stop amongst a bit of paper on the seafloor. And on that bit of paper can be written a scripture from Genesis 16. "Thou, God, seest me." I want to tell you tonight about a God who sees you. The name that Hagar gives to God here, I think I can be corrected, I think it only appears once. The Hebrew is El Roy, the God who sees. The God who saw Hagar's position here, Hagar's position, is the God who sees your position. He knows where you are. He knows where you are before him. He knows if you're saved or if you're lost. He knows if you're a sinner or a sinner saved by grace. He knows every circumstance of your life, every detail of it. It says in the scriptures further on in the New Testament, even the hairs of our head are numbered. That is your Creator God, dear friend. And he loves you. Oh, he loves you so much. Read later, as I've done in Hebrews, that everything is laid bare before his eyes. And I'm sure, and I know for myself, there's things that we've all done that we would rather people didn't know about. But God knows every single thing. Every minutest detail of our lives is known by God. The God who sees. You know, when we're younger, there always are things that we think we'll get away with. Things done in secret. Things that perhaps we think our parents haven't thought about before. Everything is laid bare before God. The God who sees, not only the God who sees, but the God who sees you. I read in Genesis chapter 3, from very early on in this world's history, man was trying to hide himself from God. This world that God had made, he saw that it was good. On every hand, everything was perfect. Man was put in the garden, woman was created. And then the serpent came in to ruin it all. Interestingly, the eyes in the previous section, I've not read it, but their eyes were opened to see their nakedness. They had a knowledge of how far they had fallen away from God. And they tried to do something about it. They sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. If by their own efforts they could be accepted before God, but they knew it could not be the case. They heard the voice of Jehovah alone. They heard the voice. Think of the voice of God. Think of him coming down. I love this picture. God knew what had happened. And yet why have we been created? Why have you and I on this earth? What's the purpose? Relationship with God. God desired something from man. And here we find it ruined. I heard the voice of Jehovah alone walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah Elohim in the midst of the trees of the garden. And then God asks a very searching question. Where art thou? Where are you? Where are you tonight? God knew exactly where they were. Not only did he know where they were physically, he knew where they were spiritually. He knew where they stood before him, a holy, righteous, sin-hating God, but one who loved them. I feared because I am naked. Well, dear friends, we're here tonight to tell you that God knows all about it. He knows all about your sins. He knows where you are. I don't know where everyone stands before God tonight. The preacher is not given to see into the souls of men and women and children. He's given to preach the gospel of grace, the gospel concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who God sent that you might be saved tonight. So where are you? You know, the psalmist, Psalm 139, I didn't read it, just picked bits from it. He realized that there was nowhere that he could go that he could get away from the presence of God. Man has been running ever since Genesis chapter 3. He's been running away from God, ignoring God, turning his back on him. Have you been turning your back on God? God has never stopped loving you, never stopped caring about you. You know, there's a new prime minister. Some will think that's a good thing. Some will think it's a bad thing. Some will think they're carried on being ignored. God will never ignore you. God cares so much for you that he gave his only begotten son. This is a God. My bones were not hidden from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see mine unformed substance, and in thy book all my members were written, During many days were they fashioned when as yet there was none of them. But how precious are thy thoughts unto me. Dear friend, do you know that God knew about you before the foundation of the world? That in his book, all your members were wrought. That God knew what you were going to be called. That God knew where you were going to be born. God saw you. God formed you. And God has precious thoughts toward you tonight. He wants to save you. He wants to bring you into blessing. He wants to bring you in as one of his sons. To give you a family where you may not have had a family. To give you a father where you may not have had a father. To show you the greatest love where you may not have known love. And to save you from perishing. Whither shall I go from your spirit? Whither flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heavens, thou art there. My bed and shield, behold, thou art there. The wings of the dawn dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there. Thy hand leads me. God's everywhere. His eye sees everything. His eye is upon you. You know, we talk about a mighty God. The God whose hand, whose fingers put the stars into heaven. We were on holiday a couple of weeks ago in the centre of Cornwall. It was so dark you could see the Milky Way. And the God who put that there loves me. He loved me when I was unlovable. He loved me before I put my faith and trust in Jesus. God commends his love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. We sung of, didn't we, the Lord looking on the leper. God gave his only begotten son. Think of him here. Think of him in this world. This world that we look around tonight, today. Jerusalem, Israel. The Lord himself, God himself, walking on this earth. Is that not amazing? Think of him taking account of the world. Taking account of the evil, all that was around. And yet, thinking of him taking compassion on this man. Think of him taking compassion upon you tonight, because he wants to. But you have to come yourself, dear friend. This leper, he came to Jesus. He said, if thou wilt, thou art able to cleanse. Oh, the Lord Jesus was willing. The Lord Jesus is willing tonight. Are you willing to believe that Jesus is able and willing to save? He's able to save. And God is able to save tonight because Jesus went to the cross. That in that single act, that work on that cross, the Lord of life, the originator of life, the sustainer of life, the one who had done nothing but blessing, those hands that touched this leper, those feet that walked the path to Samaria as well, those hands that had taken the children to himself, that had set the children on his knees. Those words, that mouth that has spoken so much blessing. That body was nailed to a cross. a cross that, by the way, was made and fashioned from a tree that he had created. Those nails driven through his wrists and through his ankles. Fashioned from what he had created. The men who did it to him, those that he knew about before the foundation of the world. And yet, what could he say as he was lifted up to die, as the full weight of his body held on three nails? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, the cross of Christ is wondrous. Is it wondrous to you? Do you know what happened at the cross? You say, oh, I know the story. Yes, that's good. Do you know it for yourself? 'Twas there my Saviour suffered and tasted death for me. God hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. As he suffered on that cross, suffered first the pain, the agony, the shame. That time when men walked past and looked up, himself he saved others, himself he cannot save. Think of what Jeremiah says. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Think of the streams of people. It was a Passover. Myriads of people in Jerusalem had gone up there to celebrate their feast. Walking back out, looking up, scorned. Is there sorrow like unto my sorrow? And then the moment came when the whole area, whole world, was clothed in darkness. When Jesus took upon himself the wrath of God against the sin and sins that you and I have committed. I remember Billy Cowie describing it as if all your sins were placed in little bags, being placed one by one. On Jesus, he carried your burden to Calvary's cross. He bore the burden of your sins in his own body on the tree. He who knew no sin was perfect, was holy, was righteous. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. Why? That if you put your faith and trust in Jesus tonight, you could become God's righteousness in him. Is that not the greatest exchange there ever is? My sinnership for the righteousness of God. That if tonight you put your faith and trust in him, there's no waiting to be saved. There's no waiting. There's no doubt. You come in repentance towards God tonight. That is, simply admitting that you're wrong. That's all repentance means. And putting your faith in Jesus Christ, putting your trust in him, you can go free tonight. Peace. Peace with God. Peace knowing that your sins have been dealt with on the cross. Knowing that what Jesus done, he's done for you. Joy. Joy in your heart. A joy that nobody can take away from you. You know, this world speaks about joy, but has no understanding of what joy is. It's a joy that's not dependent upon circumstance. It's a joy in the knowledge that on the cross, Jesus paid it all. Then you have eternal blessing. The knowledge that whatever happens, forever you're going to be with Jesus in heaven. Whatever happens next, whatever happens tomorrow or the day after, whatever the future holds, Jesus is coming back. Time is going to end. And that is a solemn side to the gospel. Time is going to end. We're speaking this afternoon about the days of Noah and how they carried on eating and drinking and making merry and all the rest of it. Life was just carrying on. Just much like it is today, it's carrying on, but this world is going to end. And God's offer of mercy will not always be open. But it is open tonight. And this younger son in Luke 15, what a picture it is of the sinner returning to God. And that's what I wanted to refer to it. The father saw. The father saw. This man had a stark conversation with himself. He came to himself. He knew where he was. He was far away from the presence of God and he recognized it. Oh, tonight, dear friend, recognize how far you are away from God. Come to yourself. While he was yet a long way off, the Father saw him. Father saw him. Oh, dear friend, the Father is waiting for you tonight. He's waiting for you to return. He's waiting for you to come into blessing. He ran. And if you're in any doubt about your reception, just look at what the Father does. Ran and fell upon his neck and covered him with kisses. An outpouring of love towards the sinner. You know, this man was in filthy rags. I doubt he didn't smell that great either. But the Father loved him and loved him unconditionally. And the Father loves you tonight unconditionally. He knows about all the sins. He knows about all your secrets. He knows everything. And despite it all, he loves you. He loves me. Father, the son said to the father, sinned against heaven and before thee, no longer worthy to be called thy son. No, we aren't. We're not worthy for God's presence. We aren't worthy. We will, on our own merits, never worthy. God's love is dependent upon our worthiness. In fact, our unworthiness makes God's love all the more remarkable. It's because Jesus is worthy. It's because he has paid the price, because he has been into death, he has shed his precious blood, that tonight you can go free. And that the fact that Jesus is alive tonight. God raised Jesus from the dead. He's seated at God's right hand. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. But the Father said, but. Bring out the best robe. Clothe him in it. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Made fit for God's presence. Made fit. Because of all that Jesus has done. Well, it's a simple impression, feebly spoken. But there is a God who sees. There is a God who sees you. There is a God who sees me. There is a God who loves you. Stop hiding from God. Stop running from God. It's exhausting and it will get you nowhere but a Christless eternity. And there is no more terrifying thought, dear friend, to be apart from God forever in your regret. having sat under the gospel preaching, having heard the way of blessing, and having refused God's offer. Don't refuse. We've spoken of the Father's love, the Father's compassion, the Father's desire for you to be welcomed home to Him tonight. Come, come as you are. Just as I am, He received me, seeking from judgment to flee. Just as you are, come in repentance and put your faith and trust in Him tonight. May it be so, for His name's sake.
Amen.